Blog Talk Radio.
All right. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who appeared to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide, and I miss. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to be back with you all once again tonight on Nation Building Presents. And tonight the topic is jealousy wreaking havoc in your marriage? Now, I just received a phone call from Student Minister Stanley Muhammad, and he is in preparation to bring Sister Minister Donna Muhammad to College Park, but inshallah he will be joining us soon, and Sister Ruth Muhammad, his beloved wife, of course, will be joining us shortly as well after they take care of those traveling details with Sister Donna. So inshallah that'll be over with soon. But I have someone with me who has been with me for the last few weeks and has been such a great contribution to the Nation Building Network, my beloved brother and co-host, Brother Kadeem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother. How are you this evening?
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister Queen Aziza. I am fine. All praises due to Allah. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the All-Wise, True, and Living God, who came in the divine person of Master Farah Muhammad. We can never thank Allah enough for coming and raising up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we can never thank them both for leaving in our midst the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I would like to greet you, dear sister, and our listening audience in the greeting words of peace and paradise of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wow,
I think tonight's subject is, what do you say, is jealousy wreaking havoc in your marriage. Sister, that is indeed a subject that we should talk about, and one I can actually share a little bit of experience on, having been married and as a man. I know that some of the things we do in the workplace or relationships we build in the community with good intentions, we need to be careful in our interaction with other women, and sisters should be quite aware of their interaction with other men. So I definitely look forward to this discussion tonight, and I definitely always enjoy the period of question. And from our listening audience and those in the chat room, we look forward to being able to help strengthen marriage and strengthen family. As I always say, family and marriage is the cornerstone to any nation. And we are in the business of building a nation, and therefore we must build strong families founded on the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, with Allah as its foundation. So, sister, let's get it rolling. Let's get it going. And we know our brother and our sister, Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth, when they come on, everybody know they're going to be bringing it. And we're looking forward to hearing from them as well, dear sister.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But in the meantime and in between time, Brother Kadeem and I will carry on. And I always try to give you a little history behind the topic. Everybody knows I'm a marriage counselor. So anyway, a sister called me, and she asked me what did I think about her husband and his girlfriend. And, of course, putting it in that language, Brother Kadeem, it took me aback. I said, what you mean your husband got girlfriends, you know? So she was saying that her husband had, being a football player in school and all of those things, that her husband had a significant amount of female friends that he had had long, friendships or affiliations with. Prior to him coming in the nation, and certainly prior to him getting married. Allegedly or supposedly, they're just friends, and, he wants to maintain that friendship and that bond with them. And she asked me, did I think it was right? And so I had to really tap into how she felt about his relationship with these women, and actually what was it that made her jealous or insecure. So that is the history behind this topic tonight, and I see her out there, and I see him out there, so they're both listening.
Praise be to Allah.
So I pondered a little bit, Brother Kadeem, and I wanted to get, of course, another point of view. I gave my opinion, but you're a man, Brother Kadeem, and you happen to be a very handsome young man, and I'm putting that out there for all those single sisters who are looking for a good brother. Here you go. And so I'm pretty sure at some point in your marriage that maybe that situation occurred. So why don't you share with us, if anything, that you have relating to what happened with this brother and sister?
Yes, ma'am, sister. Let me say this. Before coming into the nation, I had the opportunity to play ball overseas for 2 years. And as brother had stated, or the sister stated, brother was a former athlete or somebody who played ball itself. Unfortunately, in this world, being older, in hindsight being 2020, there are what we refer to as groupies who follow athletes, who follow entertainers because that's what they want in their lives. And certainly friendships are established, relationships are established that are platonic, but those women have a motive in mind. and that is to latch on to that brother in hopes of, even if he's married, unfortunately, some of those women wouldn't mind being what is referred to as a side chick. Nonetheless, there are women in the world who don't care about being a side chick, and that's a sad state of affairs. But we'll get into that. But as it relates to what you're talking about now with this brother, you know, at a certain point, now he's married. I would not be married. And naturally, we have friends. I'm sure she has had male friends before marrying her husband, and he has female friends before marrying his wife. Well, if the individual is truly a friend, they should know who my wife is and know their place, not as side chick. You're my friend, my wife, know you, and because of the life I've chosen to live, I don't know if they're in the nation or not, because there will be a certain way by which, you know, in a nation, as Muslims, I don't just randomly kick it with old female friends. That's just something I'm not going to do. Now, having been somebody, I wasn't born in a nation or grew up in a nation, and I'm very comfortable saying this because I grew up in church. In the church, or if you're of the Christian faith, that may be something that's acceptable, and it's due because it's commonplace. But now, anything that leads to wrong is wrong. When you have an inappropriate relationship with a woman that's simply saying, I'm your friend, we were friends before we were married, and you know, man, that it's something more than that, well, naturally your wife is going to be jealous. She has a right to be jealous. Jealousy is a natural thing. As a matter of fact, it says in the scriptures that I, God, am a jealous God. Well, if God is jealous, naturally the human being or the man and the woman, we're made in the image and likeness of God, well, there's the tendency to be jealous. So with respect to what the sister is sharing, I would say to the brother, they're both listening, those are relationships that you should just cut straight off. And if the person is truly your friend, they have to understand. Because ask that person to put themselves in your wife's position. I don't. That's not a relationship you need. That's a relationship you want. Because no matter how it's being expressed, most of those relationships were sexual relationships. So what business do you have with them now? What business are you engaged in with them now? And I'm not talking about you got a business together. No, you may have some business that's inappropriate together that's going on. Because if there is professional business going on, well, certainly your wife should be engaged. In fact, she should be the front runner. If you're dealing with another woman, if that woman is your friend and she needs to talk to you, or she knows you, she should be calling your wife. And likewise, if there's a woman out there and she said, this man is my friend, well, he should be calling your husband. And I was married. Nobody, you don't call my wife, man or brother or whoever, and y'all just having a casual general conversation. Hell no. Don't happen like that. So naturally, you shouldn't just be having casual general conversations with any woman that's not your cousin, your mama, your auntie, your grandmama, no female. Ooh. Just generally having some casual conversation with, because that is inappropriate. And these are things that lead not only to envy and jealousy, but these are things that lead to hurt. We hurt our women, and we wonder why our women act the way they act, respond the way they respond, because we've hurt them. And that hurt leads to a woman, after a while, she believes that all men are this way. And as I said once before, You know what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said? There's no such thing as a no good woman, but where you see one, because there are some. She was made no good by no good man. We're no good in our intent, in our actions, in our thinking. So, no, there is no excuse for that. And I can't play with it. There is should be a 100% zero tolerance policy for that type of BS in a marriage. And that's just the bottom line with it. Why would you be interested in entertaining? If this other woman is doing something to you and for you that your wife isn't, talk to your wife about that. Because that's personal. That's intimate. Don't get in the bed with a enemy, because that's what this other woman is. She's an enemy to the success of your marriage. And you know what happens in these types of relationships, Sister Queen? A man, see, we're silly as men. Now, man, when I was in the world, men get caught cheating. Women are a little bit different. Most of the time they can get away with it. We're silly. You're talking about business with this other woman that should never even be discussed. We arm them with enough to blackmail us.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't even be happening. If you love your wife, see, we don't know what real love is. We have this false ideal and false concept of real love. Love is not this pitter-patter feeling that you get in the heart. Oh, she's beautiful, he's handsome. That's silliness. The scripture says God is love. And I shared with you that a minister told me once that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that God is a man. And when the woman does not see God in us, we could be blamed with causing her to leave the mosque, leave the church, just to stop believing in God, period. Because she does not believe God is a man. And if he is, why would he bring this kind of man in my life? Because when a woman finds a man that she loves, she'll thank God for the man she found. But when the man has become a disappointment, will she also blame God for the man that has brought that type of disappointment in her life? Because he chose to be a gigolo, a pimp, a player, whatever he want to call himself? Stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is not to be played with. And if you want to continue on with your so-called friends, there's a scripture in the Holy Quran where Allah states that the believers are friends of one another. If you believe like I believe, we friends. If you don't believe like me and you own something else, you want to do something else, husband, wife, mother, father, brother, sister, over the hell with you. Because I believe this way, and if we can't function on this level, then we have to part our ways. Because though Allah hates divorce, there are some justifications for a divorce. And adultery is one of them. Abandonment is one of them. You cannot abandon your wife. If you don't want to be married, don't be married. If you want to stay married, get rid of your so-called friends, because your so-called friends are affecting your wife. That's why she got this question. You got to be very honest and very real with yourself, brother. Very honest and very real. And, you know, we got to stop hurting our women because we drive them away from us. We push them into this ratchet behavior that we see every day. Because we kill the spirit for God in the woman. We really do by having this type of behavior. Don't care if you were an athlete. You're not one anymore. But you're still a man, and I understand the brother. There's so many hungry, thirsty women in the world. You just feel like you got to get them all. You got to get the one that you say you love, and bring out of her that which she can't bring out of herself, and allow her to grow and bring out of you that which you can't bring out of yourself, and grow together and blossom together. The rest of them don't really want you. I bet they don't really truly love you like the one you got. Maybe they just do things for it. Yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute. Let me say this, because you done went all over the world, and I feel
yes,
you.
Ma'am.
I feel, but then, you know, that's why I answered their question kind of indirectly, because in all honesty, I have to, you know, I always practice in turning the mirror on myself, and I have always been one of those sisters. I'm a brother's sister. You know, brothers talk to me. It's not inappropriate, and I would never allow that. And I check them on it real quick. And so sometimes it's really not about that. You know, my oldest and dearest friend who just passed away in January, we have been friends since we were 4 years of age. And we the same age, or no, I was a year older than him. And we have been friends for over, 46 years. And he was married, and, you know, I know his children, I know his wife. So I don't think it's always that, you know. How can I put it? I think it's a very fine line on how you conduct yourself in a relationship. And to me, I think, and this is just my opinion, Brother Kadeem, you know, if you have somebody who's a friend, just a friend, you know, almost like a brother to you, almost like a sister to you, I don't think you abandon those relationships because you're married. Because that friend who is truly a friend is going to embrace your spouse, is going to respect your marriage. Because you can look across the nation. I'm friends with a lot of brothers, and a lot of them are married, and I talk to a lot of them, but it's not like that, you know. And I would just hate to think, in my opinion, I would just hate to think that we are not at a point where we can have healthy relationships. And I'm not talking about you taking a sister to dinner, you taking your friend to lunch, you talking to your friend at 10 o'clock at night in a room somewhere out of my presence or out of your spouse's presence. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you having a gathering at your house, this friend comes maybe with her husband, or, you know, and if she's not a Muslim, maybe with her significant other or whatever. But are you saying, in your opinion, that it is not healthy in a marriage to have friends of the opposite sex, regardless to how far you go back? Not ex-girlfriends, not ex-booty call friends, but just legitimate friends. Are you saying that's unhealthy?
No, ma'am. If you have a friend, I have childhood female friends. My ex-wife knew, they knew her. They communicate. That's a friend. Friends that became friends because I was an athlete. And most athletes will tell you, the groupies aren't your friends. They're there with a motive and for a purpose, and most of the time, that's a sexual relationship. Most of them follow athletes to become pregnant because they swear the athlete's going to become a millionaire, you know. So, no, if I have a childhood friend, high school friend, someone we grew up with from back in the day, absolutely not. If it's truly my friend, she would know my wife. If it's truly her friend, he should know her husband. And, yeah, you have come over. See, if you really want to know, invite him over to dinner. It should be no problem. I tell you what, sister, come over to the house. You need to meet my wife and my family. See? A man would have no problem inviting his friend to his house to meet his family for dinner. Most of my friends, my mother and father know them, male or female.
Right.
Nearly all of my friends I grew up with, they know my mama. They know I don't have to be home. They can go to my parents' house. Hey, how y'all doing? My mama let them in because she knew them.
whether it's elementary, middle school, high school, college, whatever, those types of friendships are not unhealthy. But now if a relationship bothers your wife, have a discussion about that with your wife, because women have a tendency to have a vibe that we don't have. Women will walk in the room and say, I got this bad vibe. I got a feeling something going on here. Y'all do that well, you know. And that don't mean it's right, just your vibe, you know. But you talk about it. And it's okay. Like I said, if you have a friend that's truly a friend, that individual should know your spouse. And you're right. We're not going to lunch. We're not kicking it like that. I don't need you to call me 10 o'clock in the morning. I got to roll over and crawl out the bed and be in another room talking to you. No.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Because that is more than a friend. You know, when it's got to be private and it's your friend, but it's not our friend. Okay. Now, I want to hear from the listening audience. And I called on somebody, my dear brother. I'm going to see if I can get him to say something about this. Brother Ray?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow, alaikum salam.
Brother Captain Emeritus Ray Muhammad, how you doing, beloved brother?
I am doing absolutely great. Every time I hear your voice, my friend, I feel better.
And that was a pun intended.
Yes, this is my brother, y'all, and Brother Ray is so well-versed on so many topics. Being a captain, I know you have heard it all. So, Brother Ray, I want you to comment on this topic because, you know, I know you've had some brothers in the chair, and at one point in time, what about a brother having female friends while he's married? Do you think that's appropriate, or what's your opinion about it? I can't wait to hear this.
Let me start off by saying, always in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I greet you in that powerful radio listening audience. In the nation, greeting words of peace and paradise of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, wow. I was sitting here actually planning my activities for the upcoming week, which, you know, sis, is going to be a very busy week for me. And I got a call or a text that maybe I should tune in, so I put everything on hold again because I wanted to hear this topic. I've been married before. I am divorced, and I am a former captain. Well, you really never formal captains in the nation. You're either a captain or you're not. That topic that we're dealing with, can I have a?
We lost him. Okay, he'll call back. Let me just take a call from the line. Okay. Area code 400 is a bunch of y'all. Last four numbers, 2227. Your mic is live.
Is that 407?
404.
404, Atlanta.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was on mute. This is Sister Victoria. I'm the 2227. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Absolutely. Well, what I'd like to say, and this is a pretty, pretty interesting topic. I've had experience with this topic here where I was married to a brother who is an ex-football player, and he had a lot of sisters who was his friends from back in the days, college days and everything. And it did make me feel very uncomfortable because I really didn't know them, and he spent a lot of time talking to them about private things. And, you know, so I was like, it made me a bit jealous because I'm like, okay, this is my man, and I give him the respect of not having guy friends because I'm thinking about, you know, how he would feel about it if I was talking to a guy. So I'm like, why does he not care about the way that I feel? And then shortly after our marriage, I got pregnant, and it seemed like that really increased. And we went and visited his family from his hometown and everything. And so I'm a poet, so I'm like, okay, well, the hugs are fine, but the lips are mine. I wanted to remind him, look, you know, respect me, you know. And because he said because of the culture that he's used to, these sisters were actually coming up to him, kissing him on his mouth, you know, on his lips. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is too much. And he's like, well, yeah. He say, well, they kissed me. I didn't kiss them. You know, it was always some kind of excuse and something that, like, I'm tripping. And I said, well, look, okay, you and your family and your sisters are kissing you on the mouth. Y'all go ahead and have this day. I just need to go back, you know what I'm saying, and get away from y'all so I don't continue to get myself upset, you know. And then I began to wonder, like, what am I doing in this relationship? You know, there's no respect. He has no regard, you know, for my feelings. And, you know, I'm just like, how far would this thing really go? So I really didn't have a lot of trust, you know, for him. And I felt like he really didn't care, you know, about the way that I felt. So I just wanted to put that out there. This is exciting. I can't wait to hear more from the listening audience as well as the teachers. Y'all are doing an excellent job.
Thank you, dear sister. Great. Thank you so much. And what's your name, you, beloved? What's your name?
My name is Sister Victoria Muhammad.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Victoria, and thank you for listening. Okay, we're going to get some more for you. Now, we have lost Brother Ray, so those of you who are on the phone, so go ahead and press one on your dial pad. We're going to hear from Brother Ray, and then we want your questions and we want your comments. Brother Ray, you back with us? Uh-oh, what happened?
Brother Ray must have had a dead battery in that cell phone.
My phone is definitely charged up. I wanted to come back to this one. I could not dial fast enough to come back to this topic here. And I just heard my last sister give her, I guess that would be a testimony for the most part. But I think we were saying before the devil cut me off and whatnot, that does life stop? Do we stop living because we have now taken on a mate? Do we not have any more associates outside of the mate that we decided to take on? Here is the thing. I think the problem lies with this. Most of us enter into a relationship based off of maybe some unnatural things. We did not fully go through the process or the proper process of selecting the mate. We didn't ask the right questions when we was trying to court her. And if those of us who are not per se Muslims registered, we didn't ask the proper questions when we was dating and going out, and we maybe dated a little too much, and we might have seen a little too much, and we might have done a little too much before we decided to commit to that woman. And those of us who are in the Nation of Islam, you know, we don't do no dating, period. The problem comes is when we have usurped some of the teachings that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad have given us, that's being taught to us by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, on the proper way to select a mate. We have a process here. It's called a courtship. And in that courtship, you have, whenever you go to court, you're going to have a defense lawyer, a prosecutor, you're going to have a judge, and you're going to have a jury. And if we're not asking the right questions, then the prosecuting attorney will begin to attack the defense attorney's points. And then now the jury have to sit here and decide who's right and really who's wrong. But who's the jury in this case here? The jury in the case should be the facts. We're so timid when we're trying to enter into a courtship or into a proper relationship that we don't ask the potent questions that we need to ask that individual. We don't know the sister's background, nor the sister know the brother's background. Both of you might be just little hoes, and y'all didn't know it. Both of you might have been just kind of running the streets and you want to continue to do that in that relationship, or you related to one another before you committed to one another. So now you become tired and you're bored now because the initial attraction that attracted you to her is you don't know how to keep that fire going. That's because we started out this thing the wrong way. I have plenty female friends. When I was married to my wife, I had plenty female friends. Because I'm not going to give up the part of me that made me me. I am a nice-looking, attractive brother. So I use that as bait when I'm going fishing. Sisters love to see a beautiful brother in a nice suit and a bow tie with a fire coal in his hand, smelling good with his latest oil or his latest cologne. I'm not going to not go out there and win over my people because I may have somewhat of an insecure wife. But check this point out. If you're doing what you're doing at home and securing your wife, and she knows that she is the most important thing to you, a good woman, in that mission of push our behind out and say, can you go out and pull some more sisters in here so the class can increase? We got this thing all wrong, man. You can have female friends and sisters, you can have male friends, but you got to understand what that really is. You ain't going to get no booty call at no 12 o'clock in the night. You ain't calling me at no 12 o'clock in the night. At 12 o'clock, sis, at night, if it's not mosque or nation related. We don't have conversations that late at night. And why would you want to call me and interrupt my home? Oh, you have another agenda here. So you know that's not a friend. A friend would not intrude on your relationship, be it male or female. They're not going to intrude. As a matter of fact, if it's a male, then that brother going to want to bring that female friend that he has around his wife so they can begin to bond and build a relationship. What the hell is going on with us that we think we just going to stop living because we're married? That just make your friends a part of the marriage. You know when the Muslims get... Sister, you know when the Muslims get married, then not only do you marry the couples, you marry the families, and then you marry the community. Because it's going to take a communal effort to keep the marriage together.
Right. But let me ask you something, though, because, you know, you kind of left it kind of wide open, Brother Ray. Now, I'm saying that... Okay, because do you think it's okay for, like, sisters to, and you know, it may be an issue. I don't know, because I've never ran into that problem. I talk to brothers, and you know, I talk to brothers all the time. I've never had that problem because I have a relationship with brothers and their wives. You know, it's not just... You know, Sister Queen is a friend of my husband's. Or I know her because she's my husband's friend. No, I know both of you. Now, that's just me. But do you think that if you're communicating with a female friend on a so-called regular basis, do you think it causes insecurity in a marriage in general? I mean, you got some women who... Or like me, I'm too busy to be insecure because I don't be looking. But you know, I'm just saying, do you think that causes jealousy now? And that jealousy, is it because the woman is just naturally insecure, or do you think that behavior, that activity, makes
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. If a man is communicating with another woman that's not his wife, then of course that woman, that wife is going to be insecure. And why is he communicating more with another woman that's not his wife? Of course, hell, that would make me mad if I was a woman. And if my wife was communicating with another man more than she's communicating with me, then that's who she really want to be with. She don't really want to be with me. And the thing of it is, you made a very valid point. You have to have a relationship with the wife. If you're, if, if, if that man has female friends and those female friends does not know his wife, then those are not really friends. And, of course, you make that wife insecure because you're spending more time or you're having communication with people that, hell, she don't even know these people from Adam or Eve. And why are you being so secretive there? Then, no, you the problem, brother. You're the one that's out there creeping. You're the one that's making that woman insecure, because you can secure a woman. All you have to do is include the woman in everything that you do. Hell, pick up the phone when you're on the friends. You having a conversation with your friends. Hell, put it on speaker. Let your wife know there ain't nothing going on here. Ain't nothing going on. This is just my friend. Now, when I was captain in the state of Alabama, stationed in the city of Birmingham, I had an administrative assistant that was a female. Now, I made a lot of mistakes in that because I spent a lot of time with my female administrator. I was just needing the help. This woman was out. I had no sexual thought in mind for her, but what it was is I was not including my ex-wife in the process. So, yes, that led to her being insecure and jealous. Because this woman, my wife used to say, my ex-wife used to say, when this woman came around, I lit up like a Christmas tree. Why don't I light up like a Christmas tree when she come around? That was her words to me, and I had to really think about that. I had to think about that because she was absolutely correct. But this woman, everything I wanted, asked her to do, she was on point. I need this report. I need that report. Sis, I need this. God damn it, sis, sit down here and let's go over these issues. And that was the type of sister that she was. She was a go-getter. But then all I had to do was just include my wife into what I was doing as a captain. She wanted to be more of a help meet to me, to help me meet that task that Donovan Lewis Farrakhan and Brother Sharif, who was the Supreme Captain at that particular point, had me on to better serve my minister, who was Brother Minister Theo at that particular time, and to serve the believers. She wanted to help in that, but I alienated her from that. So I made her feel insecure. So we have to be very careful because we can do that thinking that it's all about the work. Hell no, it ain't about the work. It's God's family, then the work.
That's right.
That's what that is. And when we step outside the divine protocol that God set up, then you start having these insecurities on both parts. Ain't no way in the hell my wife would just be alone with a man. And she may call that man her friend. No, ma'am, that's not going to happen. We'll all go out. We'll do a group thing. Invite your friend over, your wife over, your girlfriend over, whoever the hell she is to you. You may invite them over. You understand? But no, we're not going to do no solo stuff together. Because when you do solo stuff together, then that's what that becomes. You lose the soul of the essence of what you're trying to do with your wife and your wife with her husband. Because now you have some interference there. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't move out on those fantasies that we had prior to marriage. If you got ex-girlfriends and ex-boyfriends, they ain't your damn friends. Them you cut off.
That's right.
You cut them off, and you leave them neither root nor stubble.
That's right.
Them off. You cut them off because all that's going to do is rekindle something up in you, and you're going to try to make this woman, your wife, who you have married, measure up to the fantasy that you have of an ex-girlfriend or an ex-boyfriend. That's craziness.
That's right.
That's craziness.
That's right.
But you can, as a man, I'm a half-female friend, and whomever I married got to know that. You're going to have to share me with the world, because I'm a man on a mission, sis. And when you're a man on a mission, like the Honorable Lewis Farrakhan have taught us, then your mission outweighs everything. And you have to include that woman in that mission or she'll be an interference and you got to let her ass go. Let her go.
I think that's the fine line that we don't understand, because you have to think about it. for us in the nation, now I know there are some people on here that are not in the nation, they probably can't relate, but when you are charged in your spirit and in your duty to go out and fish for humanity, well, just because a brother is married, they can't be walking around, you know, mean-mugging and, you know, rejecting conversations with sisters because, you know, they're trying to fish them in and save them and bring them to salvation. So we have to have, I mean, brothers got to have that tact. And I've talked to many brothers who have soul final calls, and they got the smile, and they got the grin, and they invite the sisters out to the mosque, and the sisters might come out to the mosque thinking that I came out here to see that brother who was in that suit on that corner. But the goal is that they hear a word that will solidify their souls and their spirits and allow them to stay and be in the mosque for the right reason. But I just think it's a very fine line, and I think it all boils down to understanding. But I got all this testosterone up here. I need some sister help. So there's some sisters out there. Y'all touch one on y'all gal Patty. Give your sister some help. All right, I got another question for you and Brother Kadeem, Brother Ray. Do you have to go? I know I interrupted you. Do you have to leave?
No, ma'am. You go ahead, sis. Whatever I had, whatever I was doing, I'm putting on hold again because you called me. That's what friends do.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to ask Brother Kadeem first. Okay, so what? How does security, and well, you know what, I'm going to hold that question because I'm going to get this question from the audience first. Okay, area code 718, your mic is live.
Come on with some questions.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Okay, sister. Assalamu alaikum once again, sister. This topic is very interesting, but people has to be more maturity. I mean, the topic, the way you approach the situation with a sister. But I think a brother should behave the same way like if he's single. He has to protect his honor, which is a sheriff. Is he not a big sheriff? And he has to conduct so in a professional and be a gentleman. I mean, that's what made Master Farah Muhammad exceptional and bringing a lot of followers, 25,000 members, and most of them were women. And that's because he was a total gentleman. That bring people to Islam. You don't have to be so much friendly. And also the most honorable Elijah Muhammad was like that too. So if the same approach as a single and also as a married brother, you should have the same. It shouldn't be an issue. And also, the sister has to understand that marriage is religion is 50% of your marriage. And if you was courted properly, like in several lessons before, properly in Islam in a NOA doctrine, there's no way that you're gonna be a second doubt. Be immature in the relationship with your spouse. Even if he's conducting, and he's gonna check himself. You don't have to say you don't have to be jealous at all. There shouldn't be no jealousy. Okay, sister, thank you for accepting my phone call, and assalamu alaikum once again.
Wa alaikum
salam, dear brother. Thank you. Wonderful.
Sister Queen, that brother made an excellent point. You know, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are a very beautiful thing. And the teachings must not only be studied, but practiced and applied. He said, even that single brother should conduct himself this way. Now think on this. Single in the nation, single not in the nation. Look at the world. You know, I was visiting home one time, and my father referred to my nephew as a player. Look at him. He's young. He's handsome. Oh, look at him, a little player. And I stopped my father. And we've not grown men. Now, mind you, this is my father. I said, stop. He's a child. He ain't no player or no pimp, because that was one of the words they used. I say, we groom men to be the kind of, I mean, we groom boys to be the kind of men, and I said this to him, I said, you groom this boy to be the kind of man that mama don't even like. A lot of the behavior in a man comes from what he was taught. So now the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, our people must be taught everything all over again. So many times men respond, women respond on how we were taught or raised to believe what is right. I grew up in an era where my grandma said, hey, you don't shack up with no girl, boy. We don't do that. Shacking up, you was nervous about that. You don't never do that. Today, the world is saying, hey, live together. See if that work out, how that work before you get married. But this behavior and these types of behavior are the very thing that lead to what we're talking about tonight, jealousy, envy, and the destruction of a relationship. We have to be taught, as this brother said, even as a single man. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, our women must be respected and protected. Well, you have to start respecting your relationship. If you are a single brother, and I have to say this, even if our listening audience, you're not members of the Nation of Islam, we live under a certain code of ethics, if I may say, moral law, God's law, statutes, and commandments, as you should in the church. If you are a single brother, you should be very careful and wise in your relationships with women, because it can lead to an inappropriate relationship that now carries over into a marriage. And when she marries or he marries somebody else that they didn't actually have an inappropriate relationship with. We have to learn how to be able to conduct ourselves in a manner. And I think it was Dr. Minister Ava who said once, years ago, that the minister, Minister Farrakhan, were dealing with business with her and other sisters, but his behavior was 100% moral. He wasn't just whispering things to them, saying all type of flirtatious things or touching and feeling. And in this world, some men do these things. So we have to conduct ourselves in a way. Single and married. And if you can conduct yourself like this as a single brother, you most certainly will conduct yourself like this as a married brother. And I think the points made by the caller and the Brother Ray were very powerful points. Brother Ray, when you're in a courtship, you should ask your potential spouse about their friends and what you think about, well, I got these kind of friends. And you should say, well, what kind of relationship is that? Question them. We too timid to question. He right. We afraid to ask the hard questions because maybe you're going to think she going to drop me or he going to drop me. So what? If they drop you, they wasn't never there and never picked you up. They never had you. You know? So we don't have to worry about that. We have to, and to kill this type of thing, the right questions must be asked. I just really wanted to make that point.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, and that's a very excellent point. And I wanted to, you know, we titled this show, Is Jealousy Wreaking Havoc on Your Marriage? And so I'm going to ask this question, and I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask y'all this question. So I'm gonna come to you, Brother Kadeem, and I'm going to give Brother Ray's answer after that. So, what is justifiable jealousy? You know, is it just because it's a female, or should action account for jealousy?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, dear sister, that's a good question. What is justifiable jealousy, pretty much is what you asked, right?
And I want to break it down like this. You know, if I've been your friend since we were, you know, teenagers or whatever, and we're just mm-hmm. friends. Is your wife justified in being jealous of me? Or should it only be when she sees a peculiar behavior that may have taken place between us? And the reason why I say that is because when I was talking to the sister and brother last night, for me, not last, last week about this, they said she expressed that she got attitude. You know, she got an attitude just because this person called him and she just couldn't get right that day. You know, it was somebody he hadn't talked to in about 3 years. She came to town. She called him, let him know he was there. You know, want to see you while I'm in town. And she just said that, you know, immediately she got jealous. And so I asked her, I said, well, how did you find out that she called? And she said he told her. So it wasn't like she was there and witnessed the call. And it wasn't like he was compelled to share, you know, because he got busted on the phone. And so she said for the entire week, she just walked around pouting and mad because this particular girl, you know, young lady, called. And I said, well, is it an ex-girlfriend? She said, no, they were friends. They grew up on the same street. They went to all the schools together, blah, blah, blah. And so for that whole week, he's catching hell because she mad. She got attitude. She don't want to talk. She don't want to be touched, you know. And so is that behavior justifiable based on situation?
Yes, ma'am. I got you. And okay. I want to speak to that situation first. I would say that is not justifiable. On the one hand, he grew up with her. He's been knowing her his whole life. Apparently, she called, ain't seen him in 3 years or talked to him in 3 years. So they grew apart and may have, along the way, rekindled their childhood friendship. Now, if the relationship, on the other hand, is all that he said it is, and they've been friends since teenagers, did she get invited to the wedding if they were really that close? Because apparently the wife don't know this woman. She's just, see, you can say, on the other hand, it is justifiable because out the blue a woman call you and you want to hook up. I should be mad. I don't know who this is. Who is she? Well, you know what? Let's go to lunch. Let us go to lunch, because you should be thrilled to introduce to your friend your wife. I hadn't seen you in 3 years. I've been married for two. Oh, my God, let me introduce you to my wife. And it shouldn't be a problem for the friend who hadn't seen you in 3 years. Now, that's just to that particular situation, because it sounds like this woman didn't know. It just sounds like it would be question I have. It sounds like this sister didn't know that her friend was married. She just wants to catch up, have dinner. I'm in town. I need to see you. Maybe it was more than just some teenage friend. Could have been a little bit more. That's why they haven't talked. Because sometimes, dear sister, the only relationships that actually really grow apart are relationships that were with a former girlfriend, former boyfriend. Hey, I ain't talked to you in 3 years. That's fine. But I have friends that I've grown up with. We keep in touch. 3 years don't go by. 2 years don't go by. Not my really good friends. And in my life, I'm well aware of them now. So to that situation, that's what I would say on that particular situation. Are there justifiable jealousies? I think so. There are situations, and I said earlier, women can pick up on things. Even we as men, we can pick up on little subtleties, things being said, secrecies, you know, things that are being hidden. You know, we're finding out things because, unfortunately, she went through your phone, read your text. When a woman starts going through your phone, she don't already trust you. Something have gotten her to the point where she has to look through your phone. You know, or maybe your phone was just laying down and she saw that it rang and somebody's name that she didn't know popped up and it wasn't a customer, it wasn't a client, wasn't your mama, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, who's that? And we're hesitant in our tone and our voice to answer. Or if it's something that we don't want them to know, we get angry. Don't go to my phone. We'll say something like that because we're hiding something. A woman may respond differently. Her phone rings. We want to know who that is. We're not waiting. I want to know who that is. Why are you on the phone with whoever it is you're talking to? Who are you talking to? Some jealousies are justifiable. Now, that leads to personal insecurities. What are you insecure with? What is it that's got you so bothered with yourself that every time your husband or every time your wife is talking to somebody, you're quaking in your boots? Even if it's a friend you know and he's talking to you, this man told his wife, oh, that's so-and-so from back in the day. He didn't get busted. He didn't try and hide anything. He actually told his wife who it was. So these things have a fine line. I think that if asked more questions, it's possible it was something else going on there. But we only can answer that question based on the evidence that we have, Sister Queen. So that's how we'll answer that.
Wow.
Brother Ray there?
Yes, sir. I am here. Yes, sir. Well.
Brother Ray, what do you think about that?
Well, let me say this here to the listening audience. This word jealousy is an attribute that we all have. Because Allah God is a jealous God. So from that perspective there, anything that we give more our time to than him, yes, that becomes jealousy with him. It's okay from that perspective of the going through the phone, that little incident that you had, that was some other stuff going on there. If we are secure in ourselves and we are securing our wife, and allowing our wife into our world because we married her. We didn't marry our friends. They just a part of our either past or our present and can be part of our future if they will submit to the life that I have now. I'm married. I am married. And everything that we should be doing, it should be a shared, a communal type thing. When two people are married, I don't mind. My phone ring, pick it up. Hell, I'm not going to hide anything. You can go through the phone. Well, I won't even have a code on the phone. See, when you're getting the locking phones and you're married and you're putting codes on phones and you're tripping because somebody picked my phone up, why didn't you answer my phone? That means we're having a little something to hide there. So justifiable jealousy, of course there's a such thing as justifiable jealousy. I get jealous when my mom showed my brother a little bit more attention than me. Does that mean I don't love my brother? Why he getting more attention than me? I get a little jealous. I got a nephew that I'm raising that he's kind of like my son. He has a biological father, but by God's grace, I've been in this boy's life, all of his life. When he calls on his dad, I get a little jealous. Am I justified in getting jealous when my nephew calls on his biological father for some type of advice and I've been a father figure most of his life? I get a little jealous. That's a human nature. I mean, that's a human characteristic in us that when you have a relationship with somebody and you're showing someone else more attention than you showing me, that I think I should be getting their attention, then yes, jealousy will surface. It'll surface. So, yeah, I got some justifiable jealousy all around me. Queen talked to somebody and they talked to me. I'm feeling some type of way.
You need to stop.
You see?
Oh, my goodness.
So, of course, dear sister and radio listening audience, I don't want us to be so damn spooky that we don't think that jealousy exists. It's on every level. Now, jealousy and envy is something that's totally two different things, so we hope that the jealousy don't degenerate down to envy, but it's okay to have a little jealousy. I think it's healthy, really. That means you really care about me. I believe that you're jealous. So the friend thing and all that there, believe me, that advice that you gave to those two people whom you were having a conversation with, I think was sound, solid advice. I think that the brother had possibly some issues there. We have to be careful again with those past relationships that we now call friendships and that have not, as brother said, we have not stayed in touch over the years. Because a friend of mine, we're going to stay in touch with one another. I want to know how the family is. Give the children the greetings or just tell them I said, hey, or something like that. I want to know that you have gotten remarried and who your husband is and what are your children doing. See, friends keep up with one another.
It's right.
These three-year, five-year, ten-year past relationships happen to creep back up, and then you're trying to go back to a deja vu moment and rekindle something there. That we have to be very, very careful of, because if it's a female doing it, then of course that would produce jealousy in that man, and we handle jealousy a little different than females handle jealousy. We'll pick up the damn phone and want to know what's going on, bro. Where you at? Sisters do it a tad bit differently, you understand? They'll hold back from us. They won't cook something for us, or they'll walk around pouting and whatnot. But however they'll do it, they want you to know that I am upset with a particular action that you have caused. So it's okay.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Okay. All right, Brother Ray?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure, because it sounds like your phone might be going in and out, and I just want to make sure. Okay. Listen, we got some comments in the chat room, and Doug says, Brother Kadeem, he, I don't know why he's addressing you. He says that my wife, my ex-girlfriends and my female friends are all friends. Now, hold on. Don't get this twisted. I'm a little Muslim girl, but I know pimping when I see pimping.
Right.
I don't care what you say, Doug. That is off the chain. Brother Kadeem, he specifically wanted me to state that to you. I don't know why. He said, tell Brother Kadeem that my wife, my ex-girlfriends, and all my female friends are friends. There you go, Brother Kadeem. I guess you want a response.
Well, sister, I heard you. My phone was tripping. He said his wife, his girlfriend,
His ex-girlfriend and his female friends are all friends.
Well, you know what? That goes back to what we were saying earlier. Then if your wife cool with that, I don't have no problem with that. If your wife, ex-girlfriend, and all your female friends are friends, then there's no peace. I mean, there's peace. There's no beef with that. See, that goes back to what we were saying earlier. Your wife should know who your friends are. If they're really friends and they're kicking it like that. Now, because see, like even what Brother Ray said, now, let's not miss something. And just like Brother Ray said earlier, you don't stop living. because you got married.
Mm-hmm.
If his ex-girlfriend is not being disrespectful and all
mm-hmm.
his other female friends are not being disrespectful, if his wife is not uncomfortable, feeling jealous, they all have a relationship, then there's no problem.
Mm-mm.
Does his wife have a problem with that?
I don't know. All I know is that that is the most uncool thing I've ever heard. And I don't want to take y'all down a dark road, but one day I'll share that with you, Brother Kadeem, why that is so uncool in that situation.
Well, he specifically texted you in a chat room and said, tell Brother Kadeem this.
Yeah. His name is Doug.
Okay, well,
I don't know if somebody know or what.
Where he from?
I don't know. He's on Google chat. I don't know.
Okay, no problem. Well, again, dear sister, if his wife okay with it, that's fine.
Okay. Well,
because I would, you know, he can call in, and then we can ask him some questions. But he can call in with his wife, ma'am.
Yeah, Doug, call 64. I'm gonna tell Doug to call in 646-716-5971. We would love to hear from you. Okay, we're gonna take your questions on the phone. But Brother Ray, you got any advice for Doug? Because now I'm feeling some kind of way, and I'm not going to say. But, Brother Ray, you got what? Some advice for Doug?
I want Doug to be very careful. Because pimping ain't easy, but it sounds like in Doug world it's necessary. He has to be very careful that his ex-girlfriend and his wife, it sounds like a very open relationship there, is what it sounds like to me. That his wife is okay, or his wife is maybe there's a self-esteem problem there. Maybe there's some issues there whereby she's okay with an ex, because I don't know too many wives are okay with their ex girlfriend having a relationship with their husband. I don't know many like that. I just don't know that. Yeah. So it seems to me that, Doug, you got a little bit more stuff going on there, bruh. As a matter of fact, you got too much stuff going on, and if your wife is okay with that, then maybe your wife ain't really what she is to you, a wife. Because if you're sharing yourself from your past, your wife is your present, and then those other females, I guess, are representing your future, then I don't know what the hell you got going on in that circle of foolishness. So I want you to be very careful there, brother, because it appears to me that you're pulling your wife into a cesspool of filth. So I, without knowing all of the facts there, I just don't know. And then your female friend, you understand? Now, here's the thing. You got your wife in the middle of a past relationship and then female friends that you have. Ain't no way in the hell you're going to tell me your wife is okay with that. And if she is okay with that, then that ain't your wife. That's y'all just living together on some common law marriage thing. You ain't committed to that. Because we don't
this
get involved with past and present and all these female friends. Bro, you pimping.
That's why I say, Brother Ray,
very, very
I think there is some information we don't have. And that's why I said, you know, call in. But call in with your wife.
Yeah.
You know, don't just call in because there's two sides to a story and we're just hearing what Doug wants us to know. But I don't know how your wife feel about that, because I agree with what Brother Ray just said. No wife going to feel comfortable with knowing. She's not your childhood friend alone. She's your ex-girlfriend. And that's just not good.
No, not at
that's
all.
That's not good for a healthy relationship. Somebody's going to be jealous.
Let me just put a pin in Doug's situation because, and you know, I'm a woman. I'm a real woman. And I am one of the most secure women you ever probably going to ever meet. Because like I said, I don't have time to be jealous or insecure because I'm too busy. But I can tell you from being a woman and from what I see on a daily basis, some women, their self-esteem is so, so very low.
Yes, yes.
That they will settle.
They'll settle.
For all
right.
the malarkey that comes along with a man. And Doug, I don't know you, brother. I don't know your situation. But and so I'm not really saying this to you. This is just something you sparked in my mind. But I just want my sisters to know. I don't care how long you've been single. I don't care how long you've been celibate. I don't care how lonely you may get. Don't ever, ever settle for a man and his mess and his baggage, his ex-girlfriends, and he got 15 baby mamas, and his ex-girlfriends and him are cool, and everybody got his, you know, his phone number, his Twitter, his Facebook. That's not cool. That, to me, that's not cool. If sister can deal with it, that's fine. For whatever reason she's dealing with it, that's fine. But to me, that is not appropriate. Because once you cross that line and you have a sexual relationship with somebody, you know, Whitney Houston had a song. It said, if somebody loves you, they will always love you. And what that means is that whatever entity there was that made them attach themselves to you, that entity is still in you, irregardless to what other changes occurred in you that made a person back off from you. That entity that initially attracted you to that person is still there. So familiarity breeds contempt. When you get too familiar or you remain too familiar with someone that you've had a sexual relationship with, knowing that sex in itself is an aphrodisiac, you playing a dangerous game. And I'm sorry, if I was married, ain't no way in heaven that
no, I'm going to say it like it is. Ain't no way in hell.
Okay, Brother Ray can say that. Queen can't say that. But there's no way that I'm going to let my husband and his ex-girlfriends and his female friends, everybody hanging out chilling and we all having a good time. No, it's not going down like that. But what I will do, I will leave him to his business and I'll get on by mine. But
that's
not cool. I think that on behalf of the sister, whoever she is, I think it's very disrespectful, in my opinion. But if it's all good with y'all, y'all happy with it, may God bless you. Okay, so now I'm going to go to the phones right quick. Okay, I think this is my little brother, 9279-832. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Oh, Brother Hakeem Rashid Muhammad, repping Muhammad Mosque number 45 in the Southwest region in Houston, Texas. How you doing, little bro?
I'm peaceful, bro. I'm peaceful by Allah's grace.
All praise to Allah. Good to hear you.
Yes, ma'am. First, let me say, sis, that the name of this show is Nations Building, right?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. So that means we may have people on the line or on the chat line that may not necessarily be in the nation or may not necessarily be conscious. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. And as Muslims, followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we must be studious at all times. Is that right?
Absolutely, sir. Yes,
Absolutely.
Sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Now, with that being said, first, let me say this to the brother that's a player. To that brother that's a player, and I hope that he hears everything that I say. Know that before you can consider yourself a player, you're not considered a player until you be played.
Ooh.
Let me say that again, just in case someone didn't hear me. A player can't be considered a player until that player is at some point been played. Now,
okay. The
Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us in the 36 laws of Islam given to us. Number eight says, the woman should never invite or allow strange men or brothers into their homes. When a son, father or husband is not at home. And then, let me go on, let me finish. Then if you go to number 25, it says protect your daughters and women from doing evil and filth. Brothers.
That's right.
Brothers. Brothers. Sisters. Friends.
Yes.
A married brother has no business. Do you hear me, Sister Gideon?
Yes,
sir. Do you hear me good? A married brother has no business running around on the phone entertaining the company, especially of a, to a married or a single sister. Why is that, Brother Rashid? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he came and he was given the teachings by Master Farad Muhammad, God himself in the person, before you could be a laborer, you had to be married. Now, I ask the question, why did he want us to be married before we became laborers? Because he knew that when we became laborers, we had to deal with several brothers and sisters, which meant when you're dealing with that sister, we are instructed, brothers, to have your wife present. Your wife should be the one dealing with that sister. And whatever you have to say, your wife should be that moon while you be that sun, brother. And your absence, while you're standing right there, your wife should be doing that talking. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I can't hear nobody. Somebody please say, if I'm telling the lie, somebody stop me now. But if you say I'm telling the lie, I'm going to take it to the teacher. Oh, praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Richard, bro, yes, did you realize how high the divorce rate is in the, within the nation? And then we're talking about our friend. We got friend girls, and that's my that's just my boyfriend, my friend. No, sir. No, sir, brother. You was right, Brother Ray, when you said, no, we're not being spooky. You're right, brother. We're not being spooky. And the spook would be to think that a man that's married can be dealing with a bunch of females, brother, and not at some point be tempted when you're living in a world that's full of filth and that's so physical. The brother would be, and excuse my French, the brother would be a damn fool if he think he's going to stand on principle while he mingle with a damn infidel or a harlot. Harlot, brother. Out here in this world, these sisters have digested, and the brothers have digested, brother. And I'm not talking about the brothers and sisters alone. I'm talking about myself because I've been there, brother. When you get married, brother, you're married to that sister in trust in God. No, sir, brother. And if anyone is listening, the sisters and brothers, if you got these boyfriend and girlfriends, I'm talking about a sister called that she's my friend, she's in town, can we go out? Hell no. Because if you knew me that well, you would have called my wife, and that's my wife, because we go out. You don't call me and ask me that. You call my wife and ask her that. Because I can assure you ain't no brother going to call my wife, and that's not my wife there, because we're going to have a situation. Is that right?
That's right.
Yes.
Praise be to Allah. So let's not get this thing twisted, family. Let's not ever get this thing twisted, man. We're living in a real crucial time right now, and the minister is pushing us, talking about our marriage and our families. Do we not get our final call? And if you didn't, go to www.finalcall.com, and you don't even have to read the paper. It'll read it to you. But it's talking about family. You have to cover your house. You cover your house, brother. You cover your house, sister. I don't know where we get that from. Ain't no damn pimps and no players in the nation. I beg your pardon.
Yes,
huh? Talk back to me. Somebody say something if I'm telling the truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well,
praise
be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all excuse me. Y'all please excuse me. I mean, but I'm very passionate about this, brother. Because your brother's going to be married for 2 years, brother. And I know that in order for me to stay married another 22 years and then another 46 years, brother, hey, man, I got to get this thing right. And I got to do right at home. The time you spend talking to your girlfriend, spend the time talking to your wife. Because I can assure you, if you got all these girlfriends and your boyfriends, you're not talking to your wife no whole lot. I leave y'all as I can with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Woo! All right, that's my little brother Rashid. He's very passionate about that topic. All praises due to Allah. Thank you.
Praise due to Allah.
And give my sister Patricia the greeting for me. Okay. All right. Let me see. Another call from Atlanta. 22, last two numbers, 27. You have a question or a comment?
Yes, yes, this is Sister Victoria Muhammad calling again. I want to thank Brother Rasheem for sharing that spirit that he did on this topic, because I, too, have been through divorce. And I know that this was one of the issues in the marriage that I was in. It was jealousy. And I think that it was justifiable for me to be jealous because the husband that I had, he had a lot of female friends, and but it wasn't so much as him having female friends, it was the disrespect that came along with it, because it wasn't like I knew them. You know, these were his friends, you know, so, you know, that. So I do appreciate what's going on tonight. I appreciate everybody who is teaching the comments, Brother Brother Kadeem. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes.
I appreciate what you're sharing as well, everybody, you know, because I think that this is an issue that we really need to tighten up and straighten out so that we can have strong marriages, you know, because if we have trust, you know, then we have a relationship. But with a relationship with no trust, then we really have nothing. We're just, you know, going through the motions. So I just wanted to add that. And thank you so much.
Right. Praise be to Allah.
Thank you, Sister Victoria. Thank you. And, you know, that's the entire point of it all. You know, for us to have healthy marriages and healthy relationships. And, you know, I think we have personalities that we have to speak to. You know, you have some people who are just magnets for people. You know, you got people who just love your personality, and it's really about keeping all of that in check. You know,
right.
You might be a sister magnet, but you know, when you're married, you have to keep those types of relationships intact. You know, when a sister is really trying to be your sister and be a sister to you and your wife, rather than just trying to be your sister. You know, she's always talking to you, but she doesn't have a relationship with your wife. You know, that is someone who is not trying to be your sister. She's really trying to wreak havoc in your marriage. So those are the things that we have to be careful about. But we are talking about jealousy, and I want to talk about insecurity, because if you have a courtship mate, let's say, that demonstrates in the courtship, and I'm coming to you, Brother Wright, because I know you know about this. When you have a person you're in courtship with, and we get this twisted all the time, courtship is not a relationship. I cannot repeat that enough. When you're in courtship with a brother or sister that is not your man, that's not your woman, this is a person that you and him, you and her, it's a process of getting to know one another to determine whether or not you're going to move to that next level. And if a person in courtship starts to exhibit signs of jealousy, like, you know, why you didn't call me back yesterday? Who was you on the phone with? You know, questions that they should not be asking. That's a problem. And it could be that they're insecure. So, Brother Ray, when a person is insecure in their marriage, you know, can you tell me what are the side effects, I guess, right, for the lack of a better expression? What are the side effects of that?
Wow. If I could go back to, because I think it was Sister Victoria from Atlanta that had just been, and then Brother from Houston. Here's what I want us to be very, very careful with. That all of us are not Muslims that's on this radio, this phone, and we have to speak the language to whom we sent. Not one ayat, one verse of the Holy Quran was revealed outside a social set of circumstances that the community was in at that particular time. although we are under the law, we are under the teachings, those of us who are registered in the Nation of Islam, hell, we need to re-register in the nation, really? Because our marriages are...
Teach on that.
Our marriages end divorce 50% of the time.
That's right.
You don't just arbitrarily find out that your man is insecure or your man have a lot of female friends. What the hell was the courtship process all about? Why didn't we not ask those important questions in the courtship process? And why are we trying to be all pretty and we don't want him to see the bad side of us and we're going to show all the good side? Then you're putting on a mask. And when the mask is removed, now the real you come out. Now you got a problem with the real me, but we're married now.
Mm.
But you could have stopped all that foolishness in a courtship process. Courtship, you don't relate to a person. You don't hold their hands. You don't go out and y'all out on a date by yourself. Even a outing, if that's what it's called, is not even a date. It's an outing, and that outing needs to be among a group of people and married people preferably. So you can see, and not just married people who have issues and got problems in their relationship, then hell, you ain't going to get married if you see that. You have
That's
to find
right.
somebody who got a good relationship, a good marriage, when you got people entering into a courtship, because you want them to see the best part of half of their faith, which is marriage. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't try to impose the law of Islam on those who have not yet been taught the knowledge of themselves.
That's right, brother.
Be very careful with that, and be very mindful of the people that's on this listening audience. They ain't all registered.
That's right.
People and make them conform to our ideology and our theology, and have not yet taught them who and what they are. We crazy as hell to do that. Those who
hey,
are on the phone who are not per se registered. So that whatever relationship that you are in, you include God in that first. And if you don't know God, then get down on that something that's inside of us, innately instilled in every black person, a connection to a deity that's higher than ourselves. So you want to properly relate someone, then I would recommend to those who may not be per se Muslim, and then for those of us who call ourselves Muslim but act so-called Muslim sometimes, we need to go pick up the relationship tapes that Minister Farrakhan did way back when.
That's right.
Relationship. I grew up on the relationship tapes by Tony Muhammad, Minister Tony Muhammad on the West Coast. He made all of the students listen to those relationship tapes because he knew we had messed up relationships. If you got, Minister Farrakhan is an excellent example of a man been married to the same woman for 50 years. Of that relationship and incorporate that into our day-to-day. But everybody not Muslims. And those of us that are Muslim that did not go through the courtship process correctly, that's why we're in divorce court. You're sneaking around, you're calling that woman at all times of night. You're talking sex all on the phone, and you know you're supposed to keep it clean. The questions you're supposed to ask, we got about 30 to 50 questions, but you can ask anything you want to ask to that woman while you're trying to court her, or that man while you're trying to court him. You better find out before you get married that this nigga's a fool, or that woman is a fool. That woman have a jealousy, or that man has a jealousy tendency in him prior to you marrying him, because or marrying her, because when y'all have married, all these ugly things about one another, that's because you weren't real in the courtship process. So,
okay. It's okay, brother.
Be careful. I love us, man. So that black woman is hurting so much because the no good niggas done bothered them. That black woman is insane. Us, brother. That no good woman was made no good by us no good men. And we have
That's
to
right.
pain runs deeper than our ability to lift her up. So that's why she clings to Jesus and God. And when she finds a Jesus and a God complicity that lies dormant in us, that it is awakened, then she'll bow to us like she bowed to Jesus and bowed to God. We just got to be the men that we're supposed to be. We can cure these insecurities that we put in that woman. We made her insecure. Then we get pissed off when she exhibits that we made her into. How foolish are we, brother?
That's right.
And we got to be careful, man. We can't hurt this black woman no more, brother. God damn it, we'll kill you for hurting that black woman. And when the men of God start standing up, dealing with these niggas for hurting these black women, then that mess will stop.
That's right.
I'm sorry for being passionate on that, man, but I love the black woman. I respect her. I got a mother. I got daughters. I got sisters, man. And we, okay, Queen, I'm going to stop now because it's really the spirit that's coming out of me because I'm sensing some things from the radio listening audience and those of us who want to browbeat this woman or who want to correct our lost found with our Muslim teaching.
That's right.
We got to use our mathematically correctly, brother and sisters. Man, so I'm going to be a good bait by God's grace, I'm trying to be, to attract women in the nation of Islam. The MGT ranks need to be swelled, and when they see good black men in suits and bow ties or straight ties and looking good and smelling good with briefcases and handling business and moving out, that woman want to know, who are y'all? Because to them, we're unidentified walking objects. Where the hell did y'all come from? Well, sister, let me tell you about a little bit about what made me me. I have the, as a married man, when I was married, I had the right to sit down and teach. Ministers do it all the time.
That's right.
Okay, we got to be
very careful. That's right.
We got to be very careful because we are saviors to our people. And Jesus did not discriminate against male and female.
That's right.
So we can save, and when you save that woman, see, when you save us individual, no good men, you save an individual. When you can get that woman and you can take her out them tight clothes, showing her butt, stripping on them poles and prostituting, when you can put that woman in a beautiful garment, man, then you save the nation, bruh. So it is our duty to go out and try and save that black woman. And if it takes good bait to do that, just know that take a brother with you. That's all I can say on that one. Don't be out there by yourself. Save the black woman.
A good one, brother. Praise Allah.
All right, listen. We have somebody on the phone who we've been waiting on, and Sister Minister Stanley, are you there?
I am, Sister Queen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my
brother. How are you?
I thank Allah for life, my dear sister, and how are you?
I am blessed by Allah's grace, and of course, I'm surrounded with very passionate brothers tonight on this topic. We got Brother Captain America's Race, Muhammad, on the phone, and Brother Kadeem, and wow, it's really been going on, Brother Stanley, but I'm so happy that you have joined us. Is Sister Ruth with you?
Sister Ruth is not with me, but she'll be with me momentarily. So I would like to greet Brother Ray and Brother Kadeem, and y'all keep up the good work in sharing these wonderful teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan, that our people can relate to and understand.
Yes.
Very important. Thank you very much, brother, for your representation.
Praise
brother. Thank you, brother. Give that family of yours the greetings. I'm hugging you right now, Brother Stanley. Give the family the greetings of my love, brother.
I'm hugging you right back, brother. You and your family as well, sir.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, well, listen, I have a question for you gentlemen, and I know what the answer is, but I want to speak to not just the answer, but the importance. Because to me, and I think this weighs equally for men and women, that when you don't go through the courtship process correctly, now, let me say this. I know some people may have had premarital sex during their courtship, went on to get married, and you may be happy, maybe. But I want to get each of you gentlemen's opinion, and I wish I had a sister here. Oh, God, I miss my sister Ruth. But I want you all to speak to how that act alone, premarital sex during the courtship, how it sets the stage for insecurity in the marriage. Because I think it speaks to the character of the woman. It speaks to the character of the man. And if a man still can, you know, recall, and a woman can still recall the inability to control one's lower desire during the courtship, does that set the stage for insecurity? Because if you would do that, more than likely you would go outside of the marriage. So, Sister Mr. Stanley, since you're just now joining us, could you speak to that for us?
Yes, I'll be more than happy to, Sister Queen. As I think we had this conversation before. When you profess that you actually live according to certain laws and principles in courtship based on the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, as articulated by the Vicar of Christ, his spiritual son, Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan.
Yes.
And then you are telling the sister, this is who you are.
Mm.
Telling the brother, this is who I am. And then you are talking and your language begins to degenerate into a area which is called the bottomless pit.
Mm.
You begin to talk about sexual suggestive things. What are you wearing? You know, about your sexual past history. This is a probing kind of language, and also is to actually plant a seed.
Come on, Brother Stanley. Come on, sir.
Heart and mind of a person that you know has a biological need.
Mm.
And hoping that the response is equal as the question, a dejected response. And when the man who says, I am a believer, and then he puts the woman in a position that there's no chaperone, there's no supervision, knowing that his objective is to lay with her and to have premarital sex. When he breaks that vow to God, he will keep himself chaste until marriage. She will keep herself chaste until marriage, and they break that vow to God. Then once the act is over, it produces distrust subconsciously. And every time you break a vow like that to God, and she no longer sees you as a moral superior man. Man, he gives up his authority when he actually loses his moral code of ethics. And so when she's not trusting him to be a faithful man, he's not trusting even her to be a faithful woman. If she would lay down with me and knowing that this is a violation of God's law, who else would she do this with?
Come on, brother.
That's
Come
right.
On. You better teach.
She'll violate the marriage vows if she just lay down with me like that.
That's
but
right.
If he laid down with me and he said that he respects the black woman, but not to a degree when his urges start calling, it's a conditional respect. But when my urges call, I'm going to find some cunning way to lay down with her.
Mm-hmm.
Cause her to lose her commitment, to break her covenant, not with him, but with God. What kind of man are you? You would entice a woman who's striving to break her covenant with God. See, you can talk about how much you love and respect a black woman all day long.
Yes.
But do you know when she gives herself to you in premarital sex, that woman's self-worth is lowered? She no longer sees herself with the same value. Her self-esteem is lowered. And she sees herself no longer as being that woman of God like she saw herself prior to this premarital sex. And so is a man. Mm-hmm. And this is what produces insecurity when your self-esteem is low. And this is what premarital sex does. It lowers your self-esteem, and then self-esteem is the wound that gives birth to insecurity. It's the wound that gives birth to some kind of jealousy. And the most honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that jealousy destroys from within.
Yes.
And so I say that the trust is broken before the marriage begins. And that's what produces, from my vantage point, from what I've learned as a humble student of Honorable Minister Farrakhan, this is what premarital sex does. It produces this insecurity.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah, brother.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah.
All right, well, sister.
I'm sorry.
I was going to, if I can. You asked that question of all three of us. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. I'm gonna say this short part, and then I'm gonna say, "Well, Brother Stanley stole the rest of my answer." But praise be to Allah. No, premarital sex or sex period. When you have engaged in a sexual act with a woman, it actually blinds you in the courtship process to asking the right questions. Because now you're caught up into a feel-good situation that you don't want to lose. So now you play with the courtship. So you said earlier, dear sister, courtship does not mean that's your man, that's
right.
your woman.
Right.
But you've entered into an act now that is blinding you to anything. That's my man. That's my woman. I gave
mm-hmm.
him this. I gave
mm-hmm.
her that. So I don't want to ask, are you crazy? You know, not that you're going to ask, are you crazy? I don't want to ask the questions that are very necessary that I feel will cause me to lose this feel-good feeling. Because I'm blinded now. I can't see the light. Because if we've done it once, well, you know, since we done violated the law, we can do it again. So you're going to do it again. and you're going to do it again. You're not even asking questions anymore. You're now just having casual, general conversation. Now, Brother Ray going to be able to relate to this, and Brother Stanley as well. When a captain, who is the chief law enforcer in the mosque for the FOI, has violated the law, he can't really effectively enforce the law.
Damn it. Go ahead, brother.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So now when you have violated the law, you're not interested in effectively discussing the law or anything about law before you get married. Mm-hmm. But when you get married, now you want to impose law.
Come on, brother.
The law you disrespected, broke, and violated. And in your mind, see, the mind is a very powerful thing. Somebody gonna feel a little guilty and remember. And like Brother Stanley said, if he did it with me, how can I trust he won't do it with somebody else? If she did that with me, how can I trust she won't do it with somebody else? So now, not only there's no trust in a marriage, that one is a building process. It's going to go through its natural trials and tribulation, but it was tested before the test was even given. You haven't even been, you know how before you're given a test, you're given study material, and then you're tested on the study material? Well, you've already been given a test because you violated the process. You haven't asked all the right questions. You don't even really know if you're compatible. You just feel good because you're sexually compatible, so you think. Because you're dealing with something on the physical level, it's not spiritual. So now you just ignore all the signs. You hear women say this. Did you ignore the signs? I saw the signs, but I thought. Hell, if I see the stop sign, hell, I'm not going to mash the gas. I'm going to mash the brakes. I'm not going to ignore that sign. Well, I saw the sign, but God, he made me feel good. Man, she made me feel good. I saw the signs. So we blind ourselves when we engage in these acts. So we create our own insecurities. We create our own jealousies. We create our own distrust. And that says we bring extra baggage to a marriage that's already going to have its own natural trials. And we really can't handle that. And we're never going to tell the truth. Now you're going to lie. See, we didn't have premarital sex. Now you're lying. That's another violation. See how violation going to lead to another violation? I got the lie to cover that.
Come on, brother.
That's like Adam and Eve when they tried to cover themselves. See, we cover ourselves. And the law is a cover. Because God already know we lying. We don't break this. We don't have no love or respect for that which he's given us, which is best for us because we come from the world. See, I tell people, the Nation of Islam is all wise, true, right, and exact. The people in it are not. We're growing to that. And along the way, we make mistakes, and sometimes we make errors. And we're now trying to cover all that, trying to get through it. And Sister Queen, you're right. There are some people in the nation that have violated that law, and their marriages are still on. But I bet it was a struggle. And I pray Allah. See, I pray Allah, because it is only by Allah's grace and permission and through prayer that you can even get past that blinding point. Because now you have to deal with what you got. Allah hates divorce. But if I started it wrong, why the hell I get what I asked for? I had to deal with it.
You know, so I just think that that act, it does cause insecurity. Courtship is not something new. Even before I knew anything about the Nation of Islam, my grandmother used that language. Are
that's
you
right.
courting?
That's right.
My grandmother said, oh, he's courting her.
Right.
My grandmother mm-hmm. always used to say, even though we didn't listen, because, you know, we didn't understand it, y'all going out by yourselves?
Mm-hmm.
So, your mama or daddy not going with you? So, see, this is nothing new. Evidently, and my grandmother was not a Muslim in the Nation of Islam, evidently she learned this somewhere.
Right, right.
Evidently, this is something that has been traditionally something that we did as a people. But somewhere along the way, we lost the ideal of courting. Shacking up? No, my grandma, you not one of my cousins. We know grandma didn't play that shacking up thing, and if grandma didn't like her or like him, it was a wrap. Don't mess with him, baby.
That's
he
right.
ain't no good for you.
Right.
He bringing you home at 10 o'clock at night. That ain't good. And you're by yourself. What you wearing? Why you got that on? Baby, that's too short. Why you got your shirt buttoned down like that, son? Tuck your pants in.
Mm.
Blinded, so we don't see none of that. We forget all of that. Could we become blinded by a simple act of sex? And now we don't brought hell into our life while we trying to sit ourselves in heaven at once. You know, went down before you can even go up. So that's how I would really address that that particular question, dear sister.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Ray, let us hear from you on that premarital sex, because I know, you know, you and I, we kind of talk the same language on a more universal type situation. You know, because it's not just Muslims on the line, but the courtship process in itself is beneficial for everybody. So even though we are saying the word courtship and we know that, I'm going to go say it. We know that you don't get this information in your church. What are the effects of that, Brother Ray? In the marriage, how does it make us feel insecure, and not just in the nation, but just in general, all of us?
Well, sis, as I was listening to the two brothers, I mean, I was just in awe at listening to the both of you, bruh. But what it did, it took my mind to the sins of the father reaped on the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Yes, sis, you said that there are some of us who have violated the teachings and had premarital sex prior to being married, and then some of those marriages lasted forever. But then look at the children, what that act produced, that our children don't want to have nothing to do with that we call the nation. And even if they are in the nation, they're running a little ragged throughout the nation. Look at what that premarital act did and our violation to divine law. It has nothing to do with me being a Muslim, you being a Christian. A Muslim is one who submits his will to do God's will by following the example of Prophet Muhammad. And the Christian is one who is crystallized into oneness with God by following the example of Jesus. We all following divine men. So let's not get hung up on these titles and these labels, because I want to be like more like a wino. I can give a damn about the label on the bottle. If the content in the bottle, can it get me drunk and make me feel good? So this courtship process that the Nation of Islam has and set up, it should be introduced to the entire world, because it's a beautiful process if properly done. One thing about that being a lawman And you're absolutely emphatically right. More captains are in violation of the law, and that's why our military have become so damn weak. Because we have allowed the lawman to become lawless. So when those of us who are in violation of the law, then we can't put them on front street because we violated the exact same law just yesterday and didn't get caught because we the captain. Premarital sex destroys the family. I would speak from a personal experience, but I don't think I'll do this tonight. But know emphatically that when we violate the law of God, be it Christian, Muslim, Hebrew, agnostic, if you don't even believe in no God, you know there's a divine, a deity, or a deity that's greater than the power that we possess. And when we are in contradiction to one of those laws, in particular, the law that creates us, bring us into existence, then we start wrecking creation. And the effects of that are being felt on our little babies, man. Just look at our little children. Now I'm going to speak directly to those of us who are registered Muslims. Look at our wild children now. Look at their Facebook pages and their Twitter page and their Instagram. Look at what they're doing with these Muhammads, these Sharifs, these Khalis, these all these beautiful attributes of God, but their actions on those public media is so totally different. Now, the sins of the father, we escaped it probably. But guess what? God is not going to be mocked, so he's going to punish the children. Now, the children are feeling the effect of what we did. And we thought we got away with it because we still married to her or we still married to him. Courtship is a beautiful process. And it should be entered into with the intent to find out if this person is compatible for me to be my soulmate. And everyone that enters into a courtship is not made for one another. That's why the questions, if we understood the teachings enough and delved into the teachings, we would not have time to entertain the filth of sex and debauchery when even enter our minds. Because we're delving into the teachings. We want to know why we the original man, the maker, the owner. Yeah, we made hell in the mosque. We made hell in the church by running rampant through these women and these men. We the owner of that foolishness that we made. So now the God that created that universe is out of control now. We're really sick, man. And the reason why we're so sick is because we violated that law. We cannot. It's not just in the Holy Quran. I knew nothing about the Quran. And you're right, dear brother. My bit mama said she used the word courtship. And bit mama had switches. And when we didn't bring our behinds in on time, bit mama tore our behind up. But we can go out there and stay out late, and our children stay out 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, and we okay with that. I couldn't do it. My big mama nor my mother would not allow me to do that. My big mama, whenever we went to the prom, you wanted to make sure that you had that person in at a certain time, and you knew where that person, where y'all was going afterwards. We violated these sacred covenants, and again, it has nothing to do with us being Muslims. Because my mama wasn't no Muslim, but she knew how to tell that girl to pull your dress down. Those are a little too tight. Boy, what's wrong with you? You say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, when you're speaking to us. So we violated that courtship process and that law in which God set in place. And when we violate what God set in place, then the repercussions is hell all in our houses. And we wonder why. And so we got away with that. It escaped us. But again, I say, look at our children. Look at the premarital sex that they are involving themselves in. Guess what? That's because they saw us, or we done told them about our past. Now they want to live vicariously through us because we shared that foolishness with our children. And we mad as hell at our children, but we can't be mad at them because God would not be mocked. He's given us a reflection of the sin that we did in our children. That's the effect of premarital. That's the effect of violating the courtship process that's set up by divine men. And until we fall in back in line with that, until the law man becomes that, and the mosque is going to continue to be like that, until the deacons in the church stand up for the principles of Jesus and stand up for the laws and the policies that govern that congregation, then it's going to continue to be like that. We got to be better about saving our people by not killing them in our foolishness. We're supposed to be the example. We are the ones who have been taught the reality of God, but we act more like devils than the white man. We the ones who know that we the original man. We know who the colored man. We know the population of the earth. We know how far the sun is from the earth. We know the distance from Mercury all the way to Pluto. We know the existence of all the sciences. We know, but we don't have no moral compass anymore. We just do what the hell we want to do because guess what? The lawman's not going to check us. They're not going to do it. How many people do you know that fornicated and had sex or been out late or drinking and smoking and was reported and nothing happened to them? So lawlessness runs out through the mosque. That's the effects of all of that. Contradiction to the will of God is the effects of what we're seeing now. And Honorable Louis Farrakhan, I'm sorry, he can't save us. We're going to have to save our damn self in this day and time. The man has been teaching well over 50 years. What else more can he say to us that he have not already said?
Yes, sir.
That's my exegesis of that violation of God's divine covenant by going into that woman that's not your wife or going into that, we crazy.
Yes, sir. And, you know, me personally, I don't want to preach to the choir because I know that most of the believers know this. But, you know, part of the reason why we do these shows is that we want to share with those who may not have ever heard the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan or know anything or have read anything about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, we want to share the importance of why we do what we do. And it sometimes goes beyond the borders of what we call religion, because irregardless to what faith you practice, it's the practicing of that faith that becomes very vital. So I don't recall anywhere in any Bible where fornication and adultery was okay. And a lot of times people don't understand why they're catching hell in their lives, and it's because of disobedience. And even in our marriages, you know, I heard a brother tell me one time, Brother Stanley, that he said that you Muslims have it hard. He said, but as long as I get to say, God forgive me before I die, I'm saved. And so, you know, the only thing I could feel for that brother was pity because he learned that from somewhere, you know.
Right.
And they did the same thing to Jesus. You know, everybody that I know, and, you know, I'm not picking on Christians or anything like that, but most of the people that I know, when they refer to Jesus, they say that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he shed his blood, and this, that, and the other. And that seems to be the main thing that they know about Jesus, but don't nobody really expound on the 33, 36 years that he was here amongst us. You talking about the death, but what about the life? What about the commitment? What about the obedience? What about the suffering in spite of? What about not turning heels on God, regardless of who came against him. And it's that kind of foundation and that kind of principle that we have to be successful in life. So when I say successful in life, I'm talking about marriage. Because God will bring a wrath down on you and you don't know where it's coming from. It could come through your parents. It could come through your children. It could be misfortunes that come upon you, but it's obedience to God that's going to make us all successful across the board. I don't care what religion that you're in. And so, Brother Stanley, I know you joined us late, so I want you to give us some last tidbit advice. But before we do that, we're going to take a question off the phone lines, and I know my chatters are mad at me, but I'll get back with y'all this week. Okay, area code 570, you have a question?
Yes, sister. This is Brother Enrique Muhammad, also known as Muhammad Allah. I was going to make a statement to coincide with what you were saying. The scriptures say that there will be many saying, Lord, Lord, and he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I know you not.
That's right.
So it's right there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Well.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. That's it. Some
later. Okay, I'm going to have to call you later about the CD. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Hey,
okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Brother Stanley, come on and give us some advice. This is for my Christians and my, the Hebrewites, the Israelites, and all of these people who are listening to us who may have a different way. But before you say something, Brother Stan, let me say this to somebody who just posed a comment question in the chat room. Brother just said to me in the chat room that the reason why that we are having so many problems in our marriage is because we will not we will not conform to the natural way of marriage in Islam. And he's talking about polygamy. Now, let me just say this. From my understanding, and I could be wrong, so Brother Stanley, you correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes,
it
ma'am.
Is my understanding as it relates to polygamy that there was a time, as it is stated in the Quran, that polygamy was allowed for the widows, for women who didn't have a husband or lost their husbands for some unfortunate reason, and for the care and the protection of the woman. Particular men were able to take on additional wives. I'm not getting into the domestic life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I'm not getting into the domestic life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad nor the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But I will speak to you, brother. If you cannot do justice by one wife, you certainly can't do justice by two or three. And that cliche that we have, that a brother can have as many wives as he can afford, well, let me tell you something about what that really means. It's not about how much money and property or whatever that you may have. It's far beyond that, because if you cannot afford to take care of a woman, and when I say take care of her, I'm saying on all fronts, not just provide her with material things, because we have a lot of husbands who provide material things, but they are neglectful socially, emotionally, you know, physically. They're neglectful. So if you cannot afford to attend to a woman or maintain a woman to the point of her satisfaction, then your polygamy is in vain, because that is still God's woman. So you're taking on all of these wives and you're having all of these children and you're not attending to her needs because you don't have the time in a day to examine and study the woman to fully understand her. So not only are you doing an injustice to her, you're doing an injustice to yourself. So you have to be a hell of a man in the eyes of Allah to be approved to have more than one wife. No matter what the doctrines say and whatever you're practicing, you need Allah's approval to have more than one wife. And I would, you know, beg to differ. I could probably sit your wives down right now, and they probably got a ton of complaints. That's just my personal opinion. I'm putting it out there, you know. But I don't think that we in the nation of Islam, as you stated, are suffering because we are not participating in polygamy. That is not at all the case, and I totally disagree with you. So, Brother Stanley, go ahead and roll us out.
All right. Thank you, Sister Queen, for a wonderful show once again. And I would like to say to our Muslim audience, our Christian audience, our Hebrew audience, all of us believe in that one great father of the righteous, Abraham. And Abraham was told by Almighty God in the book of Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. He said, Abraham, walk before me blameless or perfect in my eyes. And how can one walk blameless and perfect in Satan's world? We are taught by the Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan that the diameter will give us the circumference, and he gave a wonderful understanding from a spiritual perspective of that geometric symbol. He said the diameter is God's instruction, his law. And from that diameter, we get the circumference, our activity. As long as our activity derives from the law of God, both Christians, both Muslims, both Hebrew, we will all be blameless in the eyesight of God, because that circle is our protection. When we come outside of God's law, we're no longer in the circle of the protection of Almighty God, Allah. We are blameable. And we have to remember that in Islam, that the Prophet, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, entered into polygamy as a result of a battle called Battle of Uhud.
That's right.
When 700 men were slaughtered, it created a condition that women were without husbands. At that time, it was more structured that men were the breadwinners, women maintained the homes. But when the men was no longer the breadwinners, women began to try to provide for their children and themselves. And prostitution was the way that they begin to provide for themselves and their children. Because the nature of a man, the nature of a woman is to be made secure. And this produced insecurity, which led to an evil that God saw. Women began to console each other, and that consolation became unnatural, which led to lesbianism. So God gave a temporal law, which was really, polygamy is not the religion of Islam. It is the lesser of the evil. Would you rather a woman to sell her body in prostitution and become a lesbian, or a man that's moral, a man that is economically sound, take on more than one wife to keep that woman or to keep that nation on the course of righteousness to evolve that nation into the oneness of God, preventing that nation from having a setback? Because as Brother Ray so beautifully said earlier, a nation can rise no higher than its women. So the woman is the standard of how high a nation will go. Civilization is not measured by the man. It's measured by the woman. I don't care how sharp you look. I don't care how eloquent you speak. If that woman is wearing a halter top, a mini skirt, and she's wearing red lipstick, and she's not civilized in her language, she's not civilized in her dress, she's not civilized, that means the nation is savage.
Come on, brother.
So God's first work is always with the woman.
Come on.
75% of God's work is with the woman. If you look at any prophet of God, they always work among the women to civilize them. So this polygamy was a temporal law to prevent this woman from going back into savagery and keep her on a course in an evolutionary process toward the mind of God. But as anything that God allows to happen, if a corrupt mind enters into that temporal law with sex in mind, then he will use that temporal law not in the context that God intended, not in the spirit that God intended, but in the context and spirit of his low desires. So the Holy Quran says, have you seen him that takes his low desires as a god beside God? And in our lessons, we are taught that Master Farad Muhammad asked the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the teacher of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, why did we take Jerusalem from the devil? How long ago? And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, because one of our righteous brothers were buried there. He uses his name to shield their dirty religion.
Come on, brother.
And you got those in Islam that are using Prophet Muhammad's name to shield their dirty intention to mess over and degrade the women and make a whore out of her.
Come
in the
on,
name
brother,
of Islam. And if you look into the faces of those women, they're not happy. You see their souls are dead under your so-called stewardship as a man. And as they say, Jesus was buried. You bury the true purpose and the spirit of Muhammad. You bury him in your mind under your guttering thoughts.
Ooh, you better teach.
I say,
come on, brother.
The Holy Quran says in Surah 4, Ayat 3, and if you fear that you cannot do justice to orphans, marry such women as seem good to you, two, or three, or four, But if you fear that you will not do justice, then marry only one. That which is your right, which your right hand possesses. This is more proper, that you may not do injustice. So Allah is telling you that, yeah, you can marry one, two, three, or four, whichever seems good to you. But if you fear that you cannot do justice, and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, justice is fair dealing. Justice is you do one for do the same one thing for one, you have to do the same for the other. But remember what Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah 33, Allah has placed in no man two hearts.
Come on, brother.
So you can't do justice by two or three, because you're always going to have a little favoritism. You're going to always do something that might be perceived by your other wife as being you favor her more than me. And when you are unjust, injustice makes the mind imbalanced. And therefore, now you get a psychological problem in one of those wives, which causes contention. And you see that all throughout Scripture with Sarah and Hagar. This is a prime example. You see that in Kenna and Hannah in the Scripture of God. You see the contention between the wives with Leah and Rachel. You see the contention between the wives. What wives did you see? Look at David and his wives and Solomon and his wives. It's contention because you can't do justice. And even Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, they always knew that he favored Aisha. You can't do justice. And Prophet Muhammad was one of the most noblest of men, and he couldn't do justice by all of his wives because they always had this natural jealousy, this natural insecurity that comes up when something is not natural. I hope you follow me.
We follow you, Brother Minister. Go ahead,
Keith,
man.
Yes, sir.
Polygamy is the lesser of the evil, Sister Queen.
Yes, sir.
It is not Islam. It's just a temporal law. And once the problem is abrogated, the law is abrogated. Because women feel the same way a man feels. Would you be all right for a woman to have more than one husband?
Come on, bro. Come on. Come on.
Well, your wife said, here's my second husband. He is my third husband. He is my fourth husband. Would jealousy come out of you? Would insecurity come out with you? Hell yeah, because it's unnatural. So why wouldn't a woman feel the same way you feel?
Come
and
on,
why does the Holy Quran say in Surah 33, it says, and the believing men and the believing women, the charitable men and the charitable women, the fasting men, the fasting women, both of them are equal in duty to God because both of them have the nature of God, which is righteousness. So why would they not feel how you feel? Why do women kill their husbands when they find out their husband has violated them?
Boy, you teach it, boy.
So faithful when they say, I'm faithful to you. I wash your drawers. I cook your food. I give you baby. You run your raggedy ass out there and sleep with some hoochie mama who does nothing for you.
Go ahead, brother. You teach it. Yes, you teach it.
Why do they feel insecure when they find out? Why do they have a sense of jealousy and that jealousy turns into murder because that injustice makes their mind imbalanced?
Teach, man. Teach.
You own it, brother. You own it.
Go, brother, teach.
So we must understand in all of monotheistic religion, we will learn that we have to strive to be monogamous because it teaches us when we have one wife, one husband,
It prepares the mind to serve one God. Poly is against the religion. I am not of the polytheist.
Come on.
Poly means many. Poly is not a natural way of a righteous person, because we are taught by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad that God hates fractions. He hates numbers that divide. He likes whole numbers to bring those who are disunited and bring them into one. Take the sperm and the ovum. They're divided, but he brings them into oneness. And therefore we produce life when we have a male and a female, a sperm and an ovum mixed together, and we produce one. And therefore life is produced only in one, not in the division.
Lord, have mercy for you teaching. Go ahead, man.
I say to you, Satan has creeped into the heart and mind of the people of God as he colonized Africa, he colonized America, he colonized all of these continents. And all these continents say, hooray, hip, hip, hooray, we have received our emancipation proclamation. We are going to celebrate Juneteenth in a few days. But guess what? Satan has said, yes, I have given them their emancipation proclamation. I no longer colonize their land. I have now learned the art of how to colonize their imagination. I have colonized religion. I have colonized Islam. I have colonized Judaism. I have colonized Christianity, that they see it through my eyes. And so, Sister Queen, I pray that we can strive to bring our families back to the oneness of God by practicing the oneness of relationship. One man to one wife. One wife to one husband that produces one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Thank you for a wonderful show, Sister Queen. I love you very much. Thank you, Brother Ray, for the powerful words, Brother Kadeem. Always wonderful co-host. Thank you all to the listening audience. I do have Sister Ruth here. She'd like to give the greetings, if that's okay, Sister Queen.
Absolutely.
Assalamualaikum, ma'am. Waalaikum salam.
My dear sister. Oh, my goodness, I missed you tonight. I needed you. I had all testosterone up in here, but my brothers did a wonderful, wonderful job, and we missed you this week, so inshallah, we can have both of you on next week. I'll have to let you know what we're going to be talking about, but, man, I can tell you what, I can see why you love my brother, because, man, boy, I can just tell you a lot was all over you tonight, Brother Stanley.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, he was.
We thank the Lord for that wonderful teacher.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was good teaching, because I want our sisters and brothers to be inspired by righteousness. You know, we catch so much hell out here. But I tell you that obedience to Allah has a reward. I don't care how bleak things may be, but I can tell you I bear witness that obedience to Allah serves a mighty reward. So, man, thank you, Brother Stanley, so much for inspiring. I don't know if the audience was inspired, but I can speak for myself. I was definitely inspired. You almost make me want to get married, Brother Stanley. Almost.
Good, Sister Queen, for the man or the woman to be alone.
I can tell you this, Sister Queen. I know the black... insane, which
so many Jews like you in our nation that is being not valued as you should be valued. But guess what?
That's
right. The man is losing out in becoming
a God.
No man can become a God without a woman of God. And I say, like Samson told those Philistines, or not Philistines, if you have not plowed with my heifer, referring to Delilah, you have not discovered my riddle.
My rhythm. That's right. Come ahead, brother.
God is bound up in the woman. And we will never know God as a man until we learn the secret that God had bound up in that wonderful second self of God that the whole world is disrespecting. And that's why the world is in the bad shape it's in. That's why men are in the bad shape they're in. They see the woman of God, the secret of God, right before them. To the queen, you a good woman. You
oh,
a beautiful, beautiful
you,
wife. Beautiful wife. Now, what am I talking about? Sister, any woman who gives their 7 days a week to God like you do?
That's
no way.
That's right.
Yeah, you
well,
you are. We, it's sure.
Yeah, God had Allah had to be my husband, so that's my husband.
I know Allah, you because your spirit is always full of joy. That means God always keeps you happy, and may Allah continue to bless you. And your husband might be on the mothership.
That's
and
right.
So,
sir.
And you know, and hey, the mothership is right around the corner. Don't think it's like 20 years from now, 10 years from now, they're good men. They're pure men on those planes. Think about
yes,
what I'm
sir.
Saying. Yeah, and they are preserving themselves, and they're hooving over Texas and say, there go my wife. I'm protecting my wife. Think about what I'm saying. See, we're not spooky, are we? Are there men that fly these planes?
Right.
And,
yes,
and why do we say the hereafter is going to give
because,
you continuous peace? There will be no sorrow. There will be no sadness in the hereafter. That means you're going to be married because that's what produces the sadness of women because there's no real man in their life. So you got to be married to just make it to the hereafter.
And Brother Kadeem, because these are two beautiful brothers who are single for no reason at all.
Don't throw me on the first three, sister. Leave me alone.
I tell you, Brother Ray and Brother Kadeem, they have beautiful, beautiful spirits, more than qualified. And they need to get a wife. So I'm putting it out there on the air because you know I'm being messy because that's what I do.
You're being messy, Sister Queen. I'm going to call you in a minute. You're being messy, goddammit.
But I love you, though. Love you dearly. And I want for my brother what I want for myself. So there you have it. There you have it. Two very qualified brothers in our nation representing so well. So y'all not going to get away now.
Well, you know what? I would say this, Sister Queen. Even though I'm married as a husband, I'm still every day trying to qualify myself for positions awaiting me.
That's right.
You know, one thing, we never qualify. When we think we are what we're not, we stop striving to become. So we must always remember, brothers, you know, sisters, we got to know that the biggest room is a room for improvement. And I heard the minister say to married couples, see, I mean, you're married. They all raise their hand. He said, see, that's your problem.
Yeah.
You're not married. He said, married means it's the past participle, which means to be. That means you're one. When you say I do, now you're in the process of marriage.
Of becoming married.
Right, of becoming married. Very good. So then that means that every day I got to try to be a better husband, a better provider, a better, you know, keeper of my wife and my children.
Yes,
see?
Sir.
Yeah.
And we always are trying to develop God in us, then we'll never get comfortable, and our wives who we do marry will never actually become unhappy because we stop striving to become what God intends for us to be. So I would never say a brother is qualified. I'm not even going to say I'm qualified. I've been married for 24 years. I'm striving to qualify. So
that's
I'm a
right.
student husband. How about that?
Appreciate that, Brother Stanley. That's what the FOI does. I appreciate it.
If I'm a student husband, a student minister, I could be a student husband because that's what I am.
Well, I think you are a very good one because my sister loves
her husband, and
she is happy. So that's what makes it good, Brother Stanley. All praises due to Allah. We're going to all keep striving. Okay, we are way, way over time, and I want to remind the listening audience it's very important tomorrow. Please, if you can, join us. Student Minister Tony Muhammad, our West Coast representative, will be with us tomorrow. And I think we have a special three-hour broadcast because we are talking about our missing children once again. And we're going to give the national report card of how many of our children are really, really missing. And this is something that I have dedicated myself to. We are going to move out and we're going to start training groups of men on how to search and recover our children. We are going to challenge our police department on the methodology that they're using to classify our children. I don't know if most of you know that if your child comes up missing and they're over the age of 10, they're automatically classified as a runaway unless the reporting person can prove that the child came up missing under suspicious circumstances. If you cannot prove that, then your child goes into the runaway category, and it could be 48 to 72 hours, depending on where you live, before the police actually look for your children. We don't need to wait for anybody to look for our children. We need to be able to look for our children immediately. We need to have boots on the ground in our communities within the first half hour or less. When our children come up missing, we need to learn what to do and when to do it when our children come up missing. We have over 200,000 black children alone missing. In the United States, we have 797,900 children of all colors missing. That is too many
kids.
Tomorrow's show at 8 o'clock p.m. Central. So please, I want everyone to tune in. You cannot afford to be uninvolved. We cannot wait until it's on our doorstep to be concerned. So please, I'm asking you to join us tomorrow, 8 o'clock p.m. Central, right here with Student Minister James, Student Minister Tony, and inshallah, all of you. So Brother Ray, thank you, my beloved brother.
Yes,
you don't beat me up, but I love you anyway. And Brother Kadeem, we lost him. Thank his phone dropped. Thank you, Brother Kadeem, for being such a wonderful and gracious co-host. And to Brother Student Minister Stanley, we certainly missed you tonight, you and Sister Ruth. But I'm looking forward to next week, and I'll be in touch with you all. Thank you for joining us for the time that you did. And may Allah continue to bless your union and bless you all, and give College Park my entire love and heart. And
yes.
Thank you so very much. Yes. And I want to give a shout out to Club 17, which is going to be opening June 6th this next month. Yeah, next month, next week. So congratulations
week.
To Brother Ray Muhammad and Club
thank
17.
You,
And Brother Ray is going to come back and tell us about Club 17 in its entirety sometime before the opening next week. So may Allah continue to bless us all. I leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night. Good night.